This is the Mosaic Church Podcast. Mosaic Church is committed to making disciples that discover Christ, connect in Christian community, and serve others and the world.
And so we are started back in April of 2024. In Romans, when we started, we did take a little break in the summer. We picked up in the fall and went all the way till like Christmas season, and then we picked up in January. And here we are today on Romans chapter 15. And I'll try to do something within the next 10 to 15 minutes. As I look back at my life, and that's something you do when you get a little bit older, you start looking back and you wonder, and I started thinking about all the people that have invested in my journey, my pilgrimage with Jesus. I can go back to when I was 18 years old, my youth pastor, Rick Bussey, and my small group leader, Chuck Benham, and my other small group leader, Grant Lehman. And I could go on and on and on and tell you of my youth leaders who have invested in me. Even when I was not the nicest kid to have in youth group. Britton's mom, Megan, works with youth kids. And I imagine there's some problem youth kids in the youth group. Yeah, well, I was one of them, okay? I was the one that was a problem. One time our youth group went to a big event, and I was asked not to attend. So, and being the rebellious kid I was, I attended on my own anyway. And so I was that kid. But they didn't give up on me. The Grant Lehmans, the Chuck Benhams, the Rick Busseys, they didn't give up on me. Somehow, by God's grace, they were able to see me through the lens of Christ and not in their natural eyes. Because in the natural, I should have been kicked out of the fellowship. So eternally grateful for people who have poured into my life. I would say in current days, absolutely I feel like our elders. We have the best elders, and I feel like all of them in their unique ways pour into my life. I mentioned about Britton and Mason. I have not seen a part of them until baby Reese was born, and then there was this part of Mason I never knew existed. I would say I didn't know there were certain parts of Mason until he got married, and then Britton was able to bring something unique out of Mason's life, and I've been his parents, the benefactor of that aspect of Mason that we did not bring out, but that marriage brought out. And the same goes with us as a church. I eternally grateful for all of you and how you uniquely make me a better Christian, and I believe it helps me to be a better pastor. I did not get here by myself, all right? There are people who invested in me, and you have invested in me. And Paul is going to be talking about investment in people. And so do you remember we talked about way in the beginning how this church was kind of going through some challenges? There were some early Christians. They were Jews, and they had converted. And then there were some people that were not Jews who had converted, the Gentiles. And then for a while, the church was being run by the Gentile church because the Jews were being persecuted, and they were sent out. And now they've come back, and now there's this, I think they call it brackish water, the salt water and the fresh water coming together, and it's creating some tension. And Paul, the apostle, is trying to bring some teaching in some chapters, a hard rebuke, and challenging them how to live. And here we are in Romans chapter 15. Paul is wrapping up his letter. There's one more chapter. He's wrapping up his letter, and he's wrapping it up and trying to emphasize unity and encouragement. And that's the mission of this Roman church, to bring unity and encouragement So it would be a replication of God's love, and it would be a replica of God's love and his relationship, and so that this church can be a light in a world of darkness. And he's going to be teaching them how to build each other up, not to tear each other down, to see that there's hope in Christ, and that God's mission is not just to a certain group of people, but all people. I just listened to watched a podcast of a theologian futurist, and he believes by 2100, so I'll be long gone by then, he thinks that the church, if on its current trajectory, will fall into, he says, sadly, two camps, one who are politically left and one who are aligned politically right, which is different than where the church has been before, because it used to be the argument was, in communion, is that really the body of Christ or a representation of the body of Christ? So it was theology was kind of dividing the church. They were fighting over biblical principles. But he thinks, sadly, in the next 75 years, it will be churches that lean right and churches that lean left. And that's not good. That's not good. And Paul, and basically, is kind of challenging the church the same thing. Let's read a chapter 15, verse 1. We who are strong must be considerate of those who are sensitive about things like this. You remember we talked about 14. We must not just please ourselves. We should help others to do what is right and build them up in the Lord. For even Christ did not live to please himself, as the scripture says, the insults of those who insult you, O God, have fallen on me. Such things were written in the scriptures long ago to teach us, and the scriptures gives us hope and encouragement as we wait patiently for God's promise to be fulfilled. May God, who gives this patience and encouragement, help you, Paul's writing to this church, help you live in complete harmony with each other, as is fitting for the followers of Jesus Christ, to live in complete harmony. Verse 6, then all of you can join together with one voice, giving praise and glory to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, accept each other just as Christ has accepted you, so that God would be given glory. Unity in accepting one another brings God glory. He's challenging us not to live for ourselves, but that the strong believer should bear with the failing of the weak. And so that's when I look back, I see that people have invested in me, even when I was a punk. Do people still use that word? I was going to think of a current word, but it didn't come to mind. As I get older, I'm feeling more like a boomer every day. I literally took a selfie with a bunch of young college leaders, and I was doing this, and I turned off the phone. I pressed the wrong button. I was like, let's do it again. Wrong button, wrong thing. Okay, let's do the thumb. Jesus did not seek his own comfort. He endured for the suffering for our sake. For our sake. And look what it says in verse 5. May God, who gives this patience and encouragement, help you live in complete harmony with each other, as is fitting for the followers of Christ Jesus. Remember, in the very first week back in April, we talked about how our church, you know, some people like vanilla cake or vanilla ice cream, chocolate ice cream, and we can go, and there are so many things that would divide us if we focus on that. Paul is encouraging the church to find unity under the banner of Christ, not personal preference. And that doesn't mean anything. Of course, you know, today we talk about the risen Savior. As a church, we believe that there was a physical, historical Jesus who lived, who died physically, was in the grave, and rose from the dead physically, and now is at the right hand of the Father. We believe in the physical life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. And that's where we stand as a church. And so there are some people who say that he was just a good teacher, and we don't stand with that. So that's where we're going to stand, on the side of the risen, physical, historical Jesus. So it doesn't mean just, you know, nilly-willy, whatever you believe, but the main thing is that we're followers of Jesus. He suffered for our sake. And so Paul is going to encourage you and me, you know, by reading this passage, to help people, to give people space to grow. Thank the Lord that people in my life gave me space to grow. Look what it says in verse 8. Remember that Christ came as a servant to the Jews to show that God is true to the promises he made to their ancestors. He also came to the Gentiles. The Gentiles might give glory to God for his mercies to them. This is what the psalmist meant when he wrote, "For this I will praise you among the Gentiles. I will sing praises to your name." It's so hard for us to just grasp maybe the tension that the church was feeling and experiencing, but Apostle Paul is saying, listen, let's find unity in Christ. Jesus came to fulfill the promises to Israel and to include the Gentiles. Verse 10, and in another place it is written, "Rejoice with his people, you Gentiles." And yet again, "Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Praise him, all you people of the earth." And in another place, Isaiah says, "Their heir to David's throne will come, and he will rule over the Gentiles. They will place their hope on him." And the church was struggling. How can they be people of God? And Paul is making it clear, it's not just for those with Jewish heritage, it is those who are other Gentiles. And so Paul quotes a whole bunch of Old Testament passages proving that God's plan always included the Gentile. In verse 13, "I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him." So when you trust in him, we can deduce is that you will find complete joy and peace. And then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul is praying for the church to be filled with joy, peace, and hope. And I pray for that for our church and for my own life, that we're filled with joy, peace, and hope. And this can only come through the power and the promise of the Holy Spirit living in our lives. So the question I have for you and for me, and I believe we can extrapolate this from the passage, are we sharing this hope and this joy with others, especially those who might be weaker, which we learn in 14, and those who might need some grace and some patience? Again, I've mentioned it a zillion times, but I'm so grateful that people had the patience of God and filled with joy and hope and could see the big picture when they were investing in my life. When I was in college at Southeastern, a Bible school, Christian school, even my mentors, Jay Stewart, I was able to just confide in him, and he was able to help me in my moment of youthfulness and knuckleheadness. I was a knucklehead in college. Even after giving my whole life to Jesus, I still needed to do some growing. Are there people in your life that you could say that they've done that to you? Or how about this? Are there people that you know that they would say that about you? That you have exuberated joy and peace and hope, and you've encouraged people in their pilgrimage and their journey with Jesus? I'm praying that the answer is yes. I'm going to finish up here because we got to move forward. "I am fully convinced, my dear brothers and sisters, that you are full of goodness. You know these things so well, you can teach each other all about them." It's investing in others. "Even so, I've been bold enough to write about some of these points, knowing that all you need is the reminder. All of you need just a reminder, for by God's grace, Paul says, I'm a special messenger from Christ Jesus to you Gentiles. I bring you the good news so that I might present you an acceptable offering to God made holy by the Holy Spirit. So I have reasons to be enthusiastic about all Christ Jesus has done through me in my service to God. And Paul is challenging us through the passage that God has blessed us with his Holy Spirit, with hope and joy, and to invest in people. And that we are to invest in people that are maybe not like us. Let me encourage you, and I say this to my own family, you know, we can't just invest in our own family. Lots of people do that. But as followers of Jesus, we have to look outside our own family and begin and willing to invest in them. So he reminds us that he's reminding us that we are to minister to our fellow brothers and sisters. Now we know that Paul only boasts in Christ, and that's going to be towards the end. But again, Paul is encouraging this church to live in unity. I pray that, we've already went through our political election, but we would never allow anybody's personal affiliation. Now, I understand there's teachings behind that. I get it's more complicated, but I would hope if we're going to have an argument, it would be over the resurrection of Jesus. Is the word of God accurate? Is this something that we can trust? I would hate to think is that we split because we didn't like that guy or we didn't like that guy. And none of those guys are believers. It's just kind of, if you think about it, these are just two broken people, two broken parties. Let's unite behind the banner of Christ, Jesus. So please, as Paul is admonishing and challenging the Roman church, I believe we can extrapolate this truth. But let's invest in people, hope and joy that we have, invest in others, and not just our own blood, all right? That's why we pray for other churches. We do it every Sunday. If you think we're just doing it every blue moon, if you've been here, I can't remember how long it's been, but it's probably been 10 years since we've been praying for other churches. We want God to bless them. And that's why I said, those who lift up the name of Jesus, we want to honor and bless them. And so we want to be a blessing to them. Does that make sense? I hope it does. I pray that God will minister to you and challenge you to read Romans 15 again on your own and begin to allow God to use you to bless those around you. Amen. And don't forget, Wednesday we start. I think I'm the first person. It's a 1 to 2 minute video. I pray that you're encouraged and challenged. And 40 days of decrease leading up to Easter. Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for this awesome church. And I pray, God, that you would help us through the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, to live in unity. And that we would invest in others, those who might be young in the faith, those who like me, the just slow in their pilgrimage, the knuckleheads. I pray, God, that we would see them through your eyes. And Lord, we could see that if the power and the joy of the Holy Spirit is in their life, we could see the big picture, what they might be like in 5 to 10 years. Lord, help us to invest in your kingdom as Paul is challenging the church in Rome. Lord, we love you, Father, and I pray that you would remind us all week to invest in others, to bring them closer to you in their lives. We say thank you again in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen, amen. May the Lord be with you. He is risen. And God bless you. We are dismissed.
We want to thank you for listening. We pray that you were blessed and encouraged. If you like what you heard today, subscribe to this podcast and listen whenever you like. To find out more about Mosaic Church, please visit www.mosaicchurchtlh.com.